So far we have had some formal constructions, and so this part would be sort of most technical, and we'll develop some concrete technique to be able to compute in the A1 homotopy category. So in ramified sheaves. So this terminology comes from, for historical reason, it was used in several cases, so I don't know exactly where it comes from. Probably from arithmetic, from the usual notion of ramified. It is related, and in of it, K-theory. There are some other terminology which could be used, like pure sheaves. The property of being unramified is sometimes also called purity. Just to start with the definition of what I mean by unramified sheaf. So let G, so it's a curly G, a sheaf of sets. So for the definition, it would be a sheaf of sets in the Nisnevich topology. Always, if I do not mention so one say that G is unramified if two properties hold, if so for any smooth variety, X with function field F one has two properties. So first property, the obvious map from G, section of G over X. So if you have section of G over X, you can, and for any open subset in X, you can restrict from G over X to the G of the open subset. And if you take the colimit over all non-empty, so smooth K variety is irreducible. Okay? If you take the colimit of G of U's for U, all the running over the set of all non-empty, so dense open subset in X, what you get is by definition the stock of G at the generic point of X, which is also convenient to write as G of F, just a notation. Or it is also the colimit where all open subset in U in X, non-empty, of G of U's. So if this map is injective, is the first property. And the second property, so uses the first property, so we suppose that property 1 is satisfied. Using this injection, then G of X is equal as a subset of G of F. So this equality holds in G of F to the intersection over all points, well, point of codimension 1 would be rather denoted by Y. So this is a set of points of codimension 1 in X. Okay. Of G, so the stock of G at Y, if you want. But for convenience, I will also denote this by G of the local ring of X at Y. It's also just a definition. This is a stock of G at Y. So this stock is the colimit of G of U's for this time U's running over the set of neighborhood, open neighborhood of y. Y is fixed, and u run over the set of all open neighborhoods which contain y. So clearly, this is also a subset in G of F. Okay, so we consider this as a subset of G of F. So you have G of X in G of F. For each point y of column dimension 1, you have this stalk inside G of F, which is injective, and you require that G of X is just intersection over all points of column dimension 1 of G of Y.
So it's stalk.
Yeah, that's right. Zariski. Very good. Sorry. I recall the definition I was using, so that's true. These are not the Nisnevich stock. So this is why another reason. It's better to write it this way. Not actually the stock in the Nisnevich topology, but in the Zariski topology. An observation. If you have one, it's clear. So just applying that G is also a sheaf in the Zariski topology, then it's clear that G of X, so if you have this property, G of X is always the intersection of all points in X of G of the local ring. This is another in translation of the gluing property in the Zariski topology. So this property means that you only need points of column dimension 1. No, if you assume 1. No, G is assumed to be a sheaf. No, it's not exactly the same definition to be simple. I assume from the beginning that G is a sheaf in the Nisnevich topology. I don't care about this. So if you assume 1, then because it is a sheaf in the Zariski topology, this property holds. This one is slightly stronger. It means that you can forget about the point of higher codimension. You only need point of codimension 1. So one main reason for considering this property is that there are many examples. Okay, our aim is to sketch the proof that any pi 1, in fact, pi n for n bigger or equal to 0, of any space is an unrank side, as we will prove later. Not today, but for any space you get over a field, the pi 1 and the pointed space, the pi 1 has this property. But let me give, before proving this, a bunch of other examples. So, for instance, a constant sheaf, which means you take a sheaf, a set E, and you consider it as a pre-sheaf, constant pre-sheaf, and you sheafify, and this sheaf, so as it is well known, the sections are just locally constant maps from the underlying topological space to E, and it's easy to check this property. if A is an abelian, birational invariant sheaf. So G, so what does this mean? It means it's even stronger than 1. It means that the restriction to any open, dense open, is a bijection. It's a birational invariant. If you take a dense open subscheme, then the sections are the same. And an example of that is, for instance, the sheaf represented by an abelian variety. A is abelian variety. Then the sheaf. So the space associated to A, because A is smooth. So when you consider A as a space, then it has this property. Okay. So beware, you can construct some. So not all the sheaves are this way. If you remove. A closed scheme of codimension at least 2 from A, then it's no longer true. The sheaf represented by this scheme is not unrankified. So the reason. Simple. If I mean, yeah, let me explain the reason. Observation, general fact. If G is unramified and Z has codimension at least 2 in X closed subscheme, then G over X restriction to G of X minus Z is bijection, because both schemes are exactly have exactly the same point of codimension 1 and the same local rings. Okay, so using this you get a contraction. This cannot be unramified because you look at the identity of FIDM, and if it were unramified, then it would extend to A, which is not possible if C is not empty. Okay, this is not possible. So I'm just explaining this because here I told you that any pi 1, so n pi n for n bigger or equal to 1, is unramified. But conjecturally, I told you that any pi 0 should be an A1 Ivan sheaf. The sheaf represented by an abelian variety is an example. This is also an A1 Ivan sheaf. Okay? And as a consequence, the sheaf represented by A minus Z is also A1 invariant. And one sees that for a sheaf of sets, just to be A1 invariant is not sufficient to be unramified. Okay, so this property will only hold for from pi 1, pi 2, and so on, but not for pi 0. So pi 0 is more mysterious, as I told you, and fortunately, I will give you some examples at the end of the lecture. So more well-known example is the multiplicative group GM, GL1. It's well-known that for any smooth variety, so irreducible with function field f, one may compute, so gm of x, I recall you that this is the group of units in the ring of regular function on x, and it is well known that this fits into, because x is smooth, an exact sequence of the form units in f, and you take the direct sum of the valuation at all points of codimension 1 to the direct sum of z. Okay, and this is exact. But then, so this is the Stoke at f. But then, using our notation here, it's not hard to check that for any point of codimension 1, gm of the local ring at x is just the kernel of the valuation at x. Okay, it's just a consequence. So this equality, in that case, because there is more structure, I mean, it's just saying that the kernel of a direct sum of morphism is the intersection of the kernels. Okay, the kernel of 1, so if you fix x, is by definition this Stoke here. So the intersection is just the kernel of the sum of the morphisms. Okay, so this property gives you exactly that GM is unramified in this sense. And this will be for sheaves of abelian group, which are strongly A1 invariant, a very general property. Okay. Ah. So, more generally, it's well known. If you consider Milnor K-theory groups, so I recall you the definition. So the Milnor K-theory of a field F is as a gradient ring, as a quotient, in the following presentation. So here you consider the unit, the group of units, as an abelian group, which is the tensor algebra of that group over Z, as a Z module, divided by the two-sided ideal generated by tensors of the form with a unit which is different from 1. So that 1 minus a is also a unit. So we take this Milnor ring, then it's easy to check that it is D, that K1 is the group of infinite. We have only relation in degree 2. So this gm is just evaluated on field, it's just k1. And there are exists, so this is due to Milner, for any point of codimension 1 in smooth variety, well, for any discrete variation on a field F, there is a valuation morphism which go this way. And it is denoted this way to the previous Milner KTL group for the residue field. Okay? And it is characterized by the property so there exists a unique which will map a tensor where pi is any uniformizing element for the valuation, so a generator of the local of the maximal ideal in the local ring at x. So the local ring of a point of codimension 1 in a smooth scheme is a discrete variation ring, so it's local, and pi, so, and it's a principle, and pi is one generator. This is exactly the meaning of that. You take any of this, and you take here units in the local ring. Valuation 0. Then this is mapped to just the restriction. So because they are in the local ring, you can consider, so this is a class in the quotient here, and this is mapped to this. So we take the reduction modulo, the maximal ideal of the local ring, and you end up in the residue field. So there is a well-defined homomorphism, and in case n is 1, this is just this one, the previous one. Okay, and you have the same phenomena, but in general, you may define and ramify Milner K theory of X, the definition to Kato. And in fact, Kato, in a work where he considered this unramified sheet of Milner K theory, in fact, more or less already used the Nisnevich topology. So some people call the Nisnevich topology, it depends where you learn it from, I mean, I also call this the Kato-Saito topology. In Coyotelen, complain about that. I mean, it was, that's two different sources. So we define an unramified Milner K-theory group of a smooth variety, again, as the kernel of the sum of all residues at points of codimension 1. This is the generalization of that. The point is to turn this, so this is a definition, you can define this group. It's easy to define this as a functor on the category of smooth variety, but with smooth morphisms. To pull back this, it's easy for smooth morphisms. If you want to extend this as a sheaf on the category of smooth varieties over K, it's complicated. The problem is regarding restriction to a closed immersion between smooth varieties, and it's very complicated. It's not very complicated, but it's related to intersection theory, usual troubles, and this was done by Rost. So Rost, in his paper on cycle modules, extended the definition, so turned this correspondence into a sheaf on the whole category of smooth variety. So one of the points I will maybe try to explain where this occurs, that in his definition, Rost used the notion of transfers in Milner K theory, because there is a complex which goes further on the right, but if you want to write this complex on the right, you need from there transfers in Milner K theory. This is quite messy to define, to prove the independence. So the point is that, in some sense, I will define these sheaves and analogous sheaves without transfers. There is a technique which enables to do this, but it's also very technical, of course, and which is quite inspired from Rost techniques, but you can avoid transfers. Thank you. Back to this problem of terminology, so because Kolio once complains to me, but I think the problems come from Thomason's paper. In an appendix of his paper with Strobo, he uses the Nisnevich topology explicitly, and he cites Kato Saito paper. So I think the decision was already made there. Yeah, I think it was a little bit before, but it was defined more or less explicitly, but it was studied later, and then between there is a so. Okay, it's just something quite natural because several people just were interested in that topology. So here's another type of examples of unramified sheaves. Last one I will no maybe we'll still give another one a conjectural example. If you look at the following pre-sheaf, which maps X to the bit group of X, and here we'll assume that the characteristic of K is different from 2. So this is the bit ring of X, so to be fast, symmetric, or a quadratic module in the sense of as defined by Max, because there is no problem, 2 is invertible here. Symmetric linear non-degenerate form tangent modules on X. So isomorphic classes of that, you group complete, and you divide by some relations. And I recall you that this is just a vector bundle over X together E, together with an isomorphism to its dual, which is symmetric. Okay. And modulo, so not only hyperbolic, but I think it's called metabolic. Modules. So these are modules E and phi is the form which contains a Lagrangian, which contains so a sub vector bundle of maximal dimension, so which is the half of the dimension of E, which has to be of even dimension, and on which the phi restrict to zero, a Lagrangian. Of dimension of E over 2, so meaning that E is has even dimension. So, for example, if X is a local scheme, then you can always put it in the following form, something like that. Okay, but you can find so the E is free, and then you can put it in this way. So we can turn this. Sorry. Metabolic? No, Lagrangian. I think it's used sometimes. If you can find such a maximum, it's called a Lagrangian. You can study the Lagrangian manifold and so on. Yeah. Sure. Yeah, most probably. So, anyway, you can define, so this is a pre-sheaf of rings, commutative rings, on the category of smooth varieties, and which on fields agree with the usual definition of the Witt ring. And so Panin and Ouyang Yuan prove that the associated sheaf. So first, the Zariski topology is equal to the one associated to the Nisnevich topology and is unramified. So first statement. And second statement, this sheaf is unramified. Okay. And this, well, there is something like that. Maybe we'll see some things in that direction, but the main change with Miller-Kayser and that stuff and Roth cycle modules is the well-known fact that the residue now depends on the choice of pi. So in this formula, I told you can choose pi any generator. But for this kind of sheaves, which are in some sense non-orientable, you have to fix the pi, and then the residue will depend on pi. So we'll put pi here. But for this kind of theory, it is independent of pi. Okay. So it's slightly more complicated from that point of view. But there is the same phenomenon, and we will see why. We'll understand why. And the last one, you can consider another functor, which now takes X to a set. So I fix G an algebraic group over K, linear algebraic group, connected linear algebraic group. No. Yeah, connected linear algebraic group. And you map X to its etal, H1. So for instance, if G, so this is a pre-sheaf of set. It is just a pointed set. So example, if G is the orthogonal group of rank N, this set is isomorphic to the set of isomorphic classes of these guys of rank N, of quadratic modules over X of rank N. So it's just a set. So in general, one may, so this is a pre-sheaf of set. Of course, by definition, if you sheafify in the etal topology, you get the trivial sheaf. If you take H1 etal or H1 in some topology, and you sheafify in that topology, you get the point. But now we sheafify in the Nisnevich topology. So conjecturally, so let so curly H1 et G be its Nisnevich sheafification. Then, well, question. Is it always unramified? So it's known in some cases. I think Panin, no, Oyenguren and Kojotelen proved this for ON. It's a consequence of the stable case of the Witt ring, and then you can, by using cancellation, Witt cancellation, and then you can manage it for ON. So it's known in some cases. And in general, so this is related to some conjecture of Grothendieck and Serre on this kind of object here. For instance, already first question, if you take X, the smooth local ring, does H1 of X in the etal topology with G coefficient inject into the H1 of the function field? So this was a question asked by Grothendieck and Serre, and so on and so on. So injectivity, so I think Panin, no, Oyenguren and Kojotelen prove that. So I'm not expert on that question, so I don't know exactly the stage. I think something is known, but on the injectivity, but the problem is still open. So Panin knows some case, for instance, G equal G2. So we discussed this and we observed that this is true for G2. I think this is proven by Chernozov and Panin. And what did Kojotelen and Oyenguren proved is that if you take, so, and also conjecturally in the Nisnevich topology or Zeisky topology, it should be the same sheaf. Should coincide. Well, in all the known cases, it's always this way. To take a local ring at the point of a smooth scheme, then in maybe reductive groups or, I don't know, semi-simple connected linear group over field K, with some condition on the characteristic, I'm not sure. What they proved at that map, so it's not known quite that this is injective, but it has trivial kernel, which means, so this is a map between pointed sets, which means if an object here, a G torsor in the etal topology here, is trivial on F, then it is trivial here. But of course, there is no structure. So it's just a pointed set. So you cannot deduce from that that the map is injective. So it's, I think, still open in the most cases. Okay, and I will connect this question with some pi 0 a1 at the end of the lecture. It should be related to the pi 0 a1 of the geometric classifying space of G. This should be the pi 0, as far as I understand. Okay, so these are all the examples I had in mind. So now, here comes the idea, how to study ramified G's and how to connect these to pi 1, a 1, and so on. So the idea comes from Rost paper on cycle modules, where we basically give a general framework to describe this kind of sheaves, which have canonical residue map, in terms just of functors, so graded abelian groups defined on fields, together with valuation residue morphisms for any discrete variation on F, and mapping to the case to the object for the residue field. So there is he is also using transfers, and he developed some axiomatization, which allows one to define then sheaf of a ramified section on the category of smooth variety with some properties. So the idea is to try to describe. So main idea. Main concrete idea, so it's quite concrete. So following Rost cycle modules paper, it is possible. So it is actually possible, and I will sketch the proof to describe and ramified sheaves sets in terms just of section in terms of the sections on each so field F, which is a finite type separable extension of the base field K. Remember, the function field we are evaluating G on are function field of smooth varieties. There should be finite type, field extension, and separable of K. So we consider, in fact, I will denote by curly FK, the category of all finite type separable field extension of K. So K is the base field. On each F plus data for each geometric discrete variation on F. Variations V on F. What do I mean by geometric? I just mean the following geometric situation, that F is the function field of a smooth irreducible variety, and pick up a point, and V is the valuation, discrete valuation associated to X, a point of that model of codimension 1. So this is what I call geometric discrete variation. And when I will say discrete variation, I will always mean geometric one. We are working over a fixed field, and all the constructions are stable under this. Okay. So how does it go? So I still have a list of data, but if you want to do the test, you can go after and look through Ross' paper, and you will see that there are much less data and axioms. Well, I mean, it's very concrete, but quite technical. So let us define. So what I want to do is to define some other notion, which comes from what we have in mind, an unramified sheaf, but only defined in terms of fields, field extension of K, which are separable, plus extra data, and to be able to say these objects are exactly in one-to-one correspondence with unramified sheaf of sets. Okay. So I will call this object an unramified data. It's not the, well, what I used in my preprint, but to go faster, and then ramified datum over K consists three data. So first a functor G from the category of finite separable field extension of K, finite type, not finite. Two sets, and you should think about this as just a restriction. If you have an unramified sheaf, you just evaluate on each generic point of each irreducible smooth variety, and you get such a functor. So seconda tab. Yeah, I need more room. Second data for any such f and any discrete variation and geometric should be given a subset which I will denote this way. So OV is the local ring of the variation ring, and so we give a subset. I mean, just write down what we get. So if T were an unramified sheaf, then we are able to define this. We just evaluate on generic points here, and here we evaluate on a local ring of points of codimension 1, and we get subsets. Okay? And of course, we remember a little bit more. And moreover, so it is a sequence to this, a sequel. Moreover, if the residue field of that valuation, which is OV modulo the maximal ideal, is separable, so it is a finite type, but it could be not separable. I mean, I didn't assume that K is perfect. So if you assume K is perfect, this is empty, and it's always the case. Okay? But this works, I mean, in general, over any field. So if the residue field of the valuation is separable, so it's there, and it is also an element of our category FK, then the extra data is the restriction, and this is the same notation as in Rost, from G of the local ring to G of the residue field. And you should think about this map, so this extra data, and this is the way you obtain this, as corresponding to the restriction of the closed point. So the spectrum of the residue field is a closed point there, but this is smooth over K, so essentially smooth, and this also is essentially smooth. You can find smooth model for this because this field is separable over K. Then you can evaluate on that closed immersion and see this map. And now we can write a bunch of axioms and then claim after. So I will not write exactly everything because it's a little bit long, but basically I will give all the ideas. And the theorem will be that these data are new. I mean, the restriction functor from unramified sheaf of sets to that category of unramified data is an equivalence of categories. Just explicit. And then after, the point will be to be able to construct such object by generalizing some construction. So, first axioms. So, it should be, so I maybe not write everything, but okay. These data should satisfy so axiom 1. Let me write it quickly. So sometimes you try all the obvious situation where you think that there should be something. So you take this. For instance, you should remember that your sheaf is a sheaf in the Nisnevich topology and so on. So this is a fine separable extension between separable field extension of K. We assume that V is a discrete valuation on F which restricts to a discrete valuation on E. So the basic situation of that is if you have a smooth morphism between smooth irreducible variety y to x, this is a smooth morphism, and you take here a smooth divisor z in x and you put it back to y, it's still a divisor, okay, and you may assume by restricting further that it is irreducible, and this situation will give you this kind of situation. Okay, yeah, because I want that the index of the restriction is 1. the ramification is 1.
Sorry, I didn't say it.
Oh. So I continue the assumptions with ramification index 1. So this means, so you have E type F, OW here, OV here, and if you take uniformizing element here, you see it here, it's still a uniformizing element. This is the meaning. And this comes from the fact that if you take locally here a function on X which locally defines E, pi, then the pullback is defined by the composition function. Just this situation. Okay? So it's a simple situation. Then in that case, there is an obvious thing. Then you should have the following. So we have our map here. We have the subset. And this subset should map into this one. Okay? It's an obvious. So this is what I mean. There is a finite set of properties, obvious properties, that you have to take care, take into account, and you can write them down explicitly. And in Rust approach, these properties are also there. They are somehow encoded in a different way, usually, but they are still there. Moreover, for instance, so this is an obvious commutativity, but moreover, if the residue field extension is an isomorphism, so from here we just know that this induces an extension from K of W to K of V. But if this is an isomorphism, then this is generically a Nisnevich cover. Okay, it means that, yeah. So it's smooth here. Yeah, okay. Maybe. I mean, smooth and Nisnevich property are basically the same thing. Okay? So it corresponds to the fact that this is a shift in the Nisnevich topology. Then something should be true. That diagram is in fact Cartesian. Then it's Cartesian. Okay. So this remembers the fact that G is a shift in the Nisnevich topology. Another example. Yeah, obvious stuff. If you take an element, so this is bad, alpha in the section of the function field of function field of variety, the smooth irreducible variety, then alpha lies in all but maybe finitely many. Then for all X of dimension 1, but maybe finitely many, alpha is in this subset. So it's a finite tightness condition, which is again geometric, so we can prove it. So if G were a shift, then this is automatically satisfied. So the problem is to find as small as possible set of axioms which is not too much redundant. And it was not so easy at the beginning. Sorry? All but finitely many. For all but finitely many X, alpha is there. Is there any ambiguity? For all X but finitely many X's, alpha is there. Yeah, yeah. No, no, not for alpha. It would be a catastrophe. And to explain a little bit further, and why this will be suitable for us, so once we have this concrete description of an ramified sheaf, so we'll see that for such data which are group data, so everything is a group, then it's quite well reachable to understand the H1 in the Nisnevich topology, and then you can write down explicitly conditions to be strongly A1 invariant. And then after, at the end, to prove that for space the pi 1 satisfies this, we use just Gabber's lemma. So we evaluate the space, we map a sphere, so suspension of all the fields to X, and we'll check just by using Gabber's lemma that this gives you such a data. This is more or less the idea, to prove that any pi 1 is a strongly invariant sheaf. In fact, we'll prove that any pi 1 is such a data by evaluating on fields and local rings of point of codimension 1. It's basically the strategy. And this works. So, third axiom, I want to finish. So, there are two parts. So, if again you assume that this is an extension in FK, you have valuation V on F. This means discrete variation on F inducing W on E with ramification index 1. Ah, yeah. And if so, we already saw something there, but what happens if both residue fields are separable? And if moreover, this and this are separable type of K, then it means that you can realize this situation as a generic situation of a geometric situation. I mean, smooth morphism, again, in this situation here. And then there should be something more. And the following diagram should commute. So we know from the previous axiom, A1, that this map to this, but then we have the restriction map to the generic, to the residue field, also here, and we have the map given by functorality from data 1. This should commute. It's not given by any axiom up to now. Okay. Two. Yeah.
Are you supposing that
V is the restriction inducing. V inducing, so restricting to. Yeah, of course, they're very much connected. Yeah. It should commute. So what happens? A case which we didn't meet up to now. So if now V restrict to E as zero, so it's no longer a variation, it means that E is inside the local ring. Okay. Then, again, it's an obvious thing. So which means here that you, so if you have a smooth morphism, you take a smooth divisor here, and the composition is still dominant, which is the meaning. Okay, there is no point of codimension 1 next, which pulls back to this one. Okay, this is the situation. Then there should be a triangle. You should have a commutative triangle. Then you can do the following. G of E maps to G of V. Of course, we have this, but in some sense, E is contained in the local ring, so it should map to the image here. Okay, so this should induce a map here. And this is a sequel. If, moreover, the residue field of V is separable, then, well, I write it there. So above it is the part 2, and below it is part 3. Then, so you get this map, then you can restrict to kappa V. And here, so under this assumption, E maps to this field, it's a field extension, E to kappa V. So you have a priori a triangle, and this triangle should commute. Okay? We are almost done. and this is the last one. Yeah. It's a more subtle one. When you want to construct and unify Milnor K theory sheaves, for instance, or Milnor Witt K theory, the data 1, 2, 3 are quite easy to construct. Well, just read Milnor's paper. A1, A2, A3 are quite easy to check, but this one is very hard to check. And in Roster Pro, this is where he uses transfer. But because he uses a complex of length 2. So far, everything can be turned into using complex of length 1, so just morphism. But here, to check this, you use a complex of length 2, so you need transfers. Okay. But it's possible to not use this. So we take smooth variety, irreducible, function field F, a point of connection 2, Z, and a point of connection 1, Y0, such that this point lies in the closure of Y0. Then, following diagram should commute. So what can we do? So the local ring, so I have to say which scheme in X of Y0. So this is S Y0. The Y0 is evaluation on the function field of X. You get this. Maybe here I have to assume that this is, yeah, I think I didn't write it. I have to assume it's right that this is smooth. And moreover, this is supposed to be a smooth variety. I take one smooth divisor. Okay. So that this function field is separable. It is a function field of that, and it is separable of a K. So we do have this. So inside, so Y0 is smooth, so this is smooth, we have a point of connection 1. So we have a discrete variation there. Okay, so we get a G, so this is a G. We get G of the local ring of Z0 in Y0 bar of Z. Well, maybe I should put 0 everywhere because these are fixed. Okay. So the point is what to map to this guy. And this is a little bit messy. And in fact, well, you have to come back to the idea of the definition of this unified sheaves, and there is no way to put anything else but the intersection of all points of collimation 1 in the local scheme of X at Z0. So this is the localization of X at Z0, so it's the spectrum of that local ring. So it's a local ring of dimension 2 by assumptions. There is a closed point here corresponding to Z0, and you take the intersection here. And of course, this is one of the local ring, and if you take the intersection of all one, of course, Y0 is in the list, then it is inside. And remember, if you remember that this comes from an unrified sheaf, this is nothing without convention as the evaluation on that local ring. This is a proxy. Okay? And this, okay, so this composition here should be nothing but given by a map here, which corresponds to the restriction to the Y0. Okay, so you have there, you have Y0 inside. The localization of Y0 at Z0. Okay, so there should be, so this composition should map this into this. This gives you this map. And in Roth's approach, this is obtained. This kind of property is obtained by putting a complex of length 2 here. You map to this, and there is no other way. But if you want to avoid transfer, you have to do this funny stuff. And the idea is to remove the use of transfer, is to choose, when you work for smooth over point of connection 2, is to fix such a guy, and to also fix that always is such a smooth Y0 going through Z0. Okay, I think this is all. Yeah, no. The last thing, I think I have still a couple of minutes, is that this map, so once you have this, so first it should, and then second, because I wrote this, and you see that this, so we get this, but now we can go further here, we can restrict to the residue field of Z0. Z0 is a point in that curve here, so we can restrict. It's Z0 defined discrete variation on the function field of Y0 bar, which is this one. So that is this map. So what I mean is that here, the source doesn't depend on Y0, neither the target. And geometrically, it just corresponds to restriction from that local scheme of dimension 2 to the closed point. So it should not be dependent on Y0. And this is the main point. So the second part of this axiom is that the composition here is independent of Y0. And if you look through Rost formalism, you can prove this using the fact that on local scheme of dimension 2, there is an exact complex. You can check as a consequence that this composition doesn't depend on the choice. So in some sense, you can remove this, and you just state what it is. But then, as a consequence, this is hard to check, especially in Milnor K-theory, but using Gerber's lemma, which is a very important lemma, as I will explain Monday, one can manage it. So let me state, to conclude the theorem. Obvious. So you have to check that this is actually obvious. Restriction functor from in unified sheaves of set to in unified data. Is an equivalent of category. Category. And the proof is quite elementary. If you assume everything from these data, you can reconstruct the shift. Okay? So funny but completely elementary. Here the Gerber lemma is not used. To conclude, let me proceed further. I will not give the details here. So using this, if G is a sheaf of groups in the Nifnes topology, so first we'll see Monday that if G is strongly A1 invariant. So if it is A1 invariant as a sheaf, but the H1 is also A1 invariant, one can prove, at least over infinite fields, that G must be unramified in this sense. So automatically, G can be described this way. Then it is possible, so if you assume it's moreover unramified as a sheaf of sets, so given by this kind of data, it's possible to explicit a property which guarantees that G is strongly A1 invariant, so that the I will basically write it down, but I will not prove it. So using this explicit description, one can get a hand to the H1, so using some kind of non-commutative Gaussian complex, so we shall meet this on Monday, to give criteria over finite field, over infinite field, sorry. And this uses Gerber lemma for G to be, to give criteria for G to be strongly A1 invariant. Now let me, I will not prove this, but I will explain the Gersten complex. So there is a Gersten complex, if G is a sheaf of groups of length 2, though there is no H2, it's a very natural object. I will just explain this complex Monday. So the theorem is that G, so if G is an unramified sheaf of group in the Mickiewicz topology, and K is infinite, then G is strongly A1 invariant if and only if, so it suffices to test this property on very small amount of stuff, for any local, smooth local, so it means localization of a smooth variety in a point of conjunction at most one, so smooth local scheme, K scheme of dimension less or equal to 1, so meaning a field or the local ring of a discrete variation, so x, then H0, so Hi of A1x is the same thing as Hi of x. So this means for any smooth scheme, you have this property. Okay, so this means exactly that for any, and I is less or equal to 1. Strongly A1 invariant means that this is true for any smooth scheme X. And the criteria is that if G is unramified, so in fact I told you this implies that G is unramified. Okay, but if you assume it is unramified, then it satisfies this, if and only if it satisfies this. So there is a way using the Gersten complex by induction to prove that this property implies the whole property in all dimensions. And this will be easy to check for G, the pi 1 of a space, because this is a small dimension. And by obstruction theory in the Posnikov tower, it's easy to check that this property holds. And basically, so I will explain this a bit further on Monday. So thank you very much.